Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guests. It is episode 98 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is July 3rd. It's been quite a week indeed. But we're going to get right into the headlines. And then I've got a guest that I've been waiting to have for a very long time. So, let's get right into it. Fortnite Save the World is finally leaving early access, but with one caveat: it will no longer be free to play. In a recent post on their official website, Epic Games said that they have decided it will remain a premium experience rather than going free to play. Similarly, they said that development of new content may slow down, but the adventure would continue. Similarly, the early access label is also being removed from the Fortnite Battle Royale mode and the creative mode. There are a lot of new updates coming to the Save the World mode of Fortnite, including season-long excursions known as Ventures. Though the post did not include many details, players can access everything in Fortnite Save the World for $20 and get some extra skins for the Battle Royale mode in the process. A new game studio owned by Tencent is opening up in Orange County and is being led by Rockstar veteran Steve Martin. The studio is said to be working on a new open world game for next-gen consoles. In a statement, Martin said that the studio will usher in a new era of game culture by combining world-class development with a stress-free work environment. Martin says that the teams will be focused on building high-caliber games while promoting integrity, proactivity, collaborations, and creativity. Amazon's Crucible is being unreleased and going back into closed beta. After what seems to have been a lukewarm response to the game, Amazon has decided to pull the shooter and work on it based on gamer feedback. Franchise lead Colin Johansson wrote recently addressing the community, stating that the beta play will mostly stay the same, mostly. However, developers will be playing alongside players and soliciting feedback while doing so. Unfortunately, player count for Crucible has been rather low. At launch, Steam charts showed around 10,000 players at its peak, with an average of about 3,000 for a few weeks. Now, at the time of this episode, it is barely reaching 150 players, showing about 135 to 140. It is worth noting that this is not the first time a game has had to ever pull their release back or take their multiplayer game down in order to make improvements or change the game entirely. But what is perhaps worth speaking of is the backing and financial support the studio has with a name like Amazon supporting them. And finally, the gaming community is currently shaken by allegations of misconduct, sexual and otherwise. In particular, we've seen many in the gaming community, streaming community, and all around come out to tell stories of abuse and misconduct, and in the process, we've seen many of those accused apologize and be removed from platforms and companies. Ubisoft is currently reworking how it deals with employee complaints. EA has pledged to investigate any allegations of sexual misconduct and abuse, and Evo has placed Joey Kueller on administrative leave following allegations of sexual misconduct. Many high-profile companies and players and even commentators have decided to pull their games, their support, or their work from Evo following these allegations. And those are just some of the headlines this week. If you want to chat any about any headlines or you've got any comments you want to make, be sure to tweet at me at Comedy Jace Gaming or at WK Cooldown or join us on Discord and let me know all about it. It's been a crazy crazy week for the gaming community for the past 2 weeks, really. We're gonna try and do better, I think. We have a lot of work to do, but maybe my guest will have something to say about that work. You may know him from his very cool stream that he does all the time, and that I sometimes miss, but I've been hanging out a little bit more because they stream at a good time, and I get in before dinner. Please welcome Jeff Brutlag. Brutlag.
Oh, it's Brute Log.
Brute Log.
Yeah.
I knew I was saying it wrong.
It's one of those things that I get it like I get it mispronounced so many times, and like people don't know how to spell it when I say it, that my stepmom actually taught me like an interesting trick to do that. She's like, just mispronounce it all the time and people will always know how to spell it. Just say Brutlag. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
That, yeah, it does. See, I have the opposite thing where, well, actually, no, I have both. So my real name is Najee, and it is spelled NAJEE, but if I say it out, if I say it, people say, oh, NAGEE or NAGI or NAJI. Sometimes they put an H in there. One lady put an R in there once, and I was like, not sure how you got that, but okay.
Where did you hear that?
Yeah, we'll go with it though. So I try to get all the names right because I know the pain.
It's fair. No, I get it.
I definitely also get it. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So before we get into all the nitty-gritty, I have to ask you what I ask all my guests. Do you know what that is?
Oh God, I feel like I'm being tested and I'm just, I failed. Oh no.
Failed. But your punishment is telling me, what have you been playing this week?
Ooh. So I just finished The Last of Us 2. And other than that, stream-wise, I've been playing a lot of Dragon Age Inquisition.
Okay. Are any concerns?
With what in
The
particular?
Last of Us.
Yes.
Okay. I know that a lot of people have like crazy mixed feelings about that game, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're at with like spoiler territory on that, so I don't know if how much you wanted me to get into that.
I don't know anything about the game.
Okay.
So
Okay.
I don't know if I want to be spoiled or if I don't, but
Okay.
like I don't know. Do you have like a non-spoilery one word?
I think the best way I can describe it is that the story that they wanted us to focus on more was not the story I felt should be the main focus of this game.
I've heard something like that.
Yeah,
Okay.
because I just, yeah, without getting into spoiler territory, that's like the best way I can say why I'm disappointed in it.
Got it. Got it. Ooh, I can feel it. I can.
Yeah, did you play the first one?
I have. So I don't have consoles except for my
Oh,
Nintendo
okay.
Switch. So I never got to do any exclusives. I wasn't really like, I don't know, I wasn't really interested in any of the exclusives, but people always told me like, oh, The Last of Us is so great, blah 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 blah, and I'm like, is it though?
Right. Yeah.
so I never got into it, but now I really want to because I want to know what the big deal is.
So my thing with it is the first one, I thought, it came around when like post-apocalyptic fiction was big and
Sure.
super mainstream. And I think it did it really uniquely because I think it had such a unique balance of character development and like focusing on like the threat of this virus that had been around for so long. And I thought it just did so many things so well. And then when like one of the characters, you find out that she's actually queer in the DLC, I was like, oh hell yeah, this is amazing.
Right.
Like it just, I got like so much of a deeper connection to the game, so I was super excited for The Last of Us 2. So without, again, without spoilers, the reason I was disappointed in The Last of Us 2 is because the way they kind of do the story is like it's 4 years after the events of the first one, and they show flashbacks of like parts of the game. Like they show flashbacks of like what had happened like literally like right after like the events of the first one. And I much preferred the story of the flashbacks than what was going in currently. And I
That's
think
interesting.
that's where like really the development took better place. And I feel like the focus wasn't on that enough.
I wonder, see, that makes me wonder if the original game was like supposed to be set right after, and then they were like, no. Let's do
Right.
something different.
I wish. I really wish they did because I think there are so many characters that could have shined a lot better in that sense.
Interesting. Well, it's too late for me to get a console now. I'm waiting for the PS5.
May, but I think it'll have backwards compatibility and then
That is
you'll
true.
be able to play through them all.
Yes, so that's what I'm holding out for right now. I'm waiting for November-ish where I can chuck, I don't know, my entire paycheck at Sony and be like, all right, time to not play a game for a while because I'm broke, but I'll
At
get
least
to
I
it.
have the console.
Right, yeah, it's pretty to, it's well, pretty is a word, but it's there and I can look at it.
Yep.
Perfect. So lately on the show we've been talking about the idea of gay awakenings. Simply because it kind of started out, I think, with most people as a joke, kind of online. You'll say like, my gay awakening was this character from the 90s, or my gay awakening was, I don't know, some character from Buffy or something like that. But it seems to be a little bit more real than we might really imagine. So some of my past guests have talked spoken about how some toys they've seen in Toys R Us, some aisle, like they might go down the quote unquote boy aisle or the girl aisle and kind of resonate with the toys there, and that was kind of their awakening. Or they might see a Power Ranger on a TV show, and that's kind of their awakening. So dig deep into your brain as far back as you can reach, and think hard. Was there a gay awakening for you?
I know there is. I know there is. I know that there's a moment where like the inkling started. I know that there were always like video game characters that I felt like I wanted to have some sort of like deeper connection with them. And I think the first time I remember feeling that was with Squall from Final Fantasy VIII,
Ooh, pretty boy.
which, like little baby gay me was so into broody boys. It's ridiculous. Like I look back on it
Emo
now and I'm like, how?
boys.
That's not my type at all. But like I just remember feeling like that about him, and I didn't think anything of it.
Sure.
But like I think at that point I was like, this is different. This is different. But I think more so later when I was like, oh God, I want to say it was like 7th grade when I saw Leon in Resident Evil 4.
Oh boy.
That's when I was like, okay, yeah,
This
like,
is for me.
There was like this, there's something about men now.
You really enjoy one-liners, I guess.
One-liners, and there's something about him that's like, he's like hot, but like in a way that's like, he also has like the personality to back it up.
Sure.
So like, it's not like he's just like hot and dumb or like hot and no personality, like Chris, sorry about it, Chris Redfield.
I'm not. Speak your truth.
Yeah,
Speak
I mean,
everyone's truth.
but no, I just I that's it just got me.
Right. No, I get that. Leon's up there on the list with some other guys. We won't get into it.
There's a lot of them out there.
Well, that's cool. I'm so interested. I might maybe next year just kind of make one episode where I just deep dive into everyone's kind of awakenings and their reaffirmations and just go down a list of characters that's like, this reaffirms that I'm gay. This one here, this guy with the big muscles reaffirms it for me. And everyone's reawakenings, or rather first awakenings, because that I think that's important. I think we don't realize how much media kind of helps us to be ourselves, if that makes sense.
Right, absolutely.
We shall explore that more next year. By the way, this is still the Pride Month episodes. It is technically July 3rd, but I decided that we're going to take over this month, so the heteros can't come on the show, but they can still listen. So thank you for being an ally and listening to the show. I appreciate it. You know who you are. Okay. That being said, I have one last question. The LGBTQ community, how can we be better represented in video games, in the community? as a whole? How can we do it? And I'd like to kind of preface this with your chat about The Last of Us as well. Because to me, when I found out that the character that you speak of who's queer was, well, it's Ellie. Ellie was queer, but she kind of comes out in the DLC as being queer. It kind of felt like an afterthought to me, and I hate afterthoughts. But it felt a lot more prevalent in The Last of Us 2, based on what I've seen from like trailers and stuff. So, not necessarily that she's good or bad representation, but how is this a good way for us to kind of look at games and the queer community and just go forward from here? Like, is it a good spot for us to go forward from here? Are we in the, going in the right direction?
It's with this game in particular, because I think because it's our freshest, newest bit of queer representation, it's hard because this one is in such a brutal world that it becomes hard to decide how you want to develop these characters. Like, my views, I definitely don't feel like this is the strongest, like, when it comes to queer representation. I feel like they were pretty good with some characters, and I think they were really terrible with others. Like, there was a trans storyline in this game where I mean, really, all the trans experience you hear about this character, you don't get from the actual trans character. The trans character themselves gets like dead named a lot. Like their pronouns not being respected. And then like there's this really big scene of trans related trauma that they go through that, to me, like, yes, the world is brutal, but like, why do we need to bring in like trauma like that? So I think for me, it does some things okay. I think Ellie's representation, and you know, it's become pretty prevalent that you know she has like a someone she's involved with in there. That you know, I think her representation is also really well done. Dare I say, she actually has the, in my personal opinion, I think she has the better development compared to Ellie. And I think they do that well, but I think they could have done more, because it really felt more like it was queer representation for straight people, meant to be palatable to straight people. And I get it. I think we need to start somewhere, and I'm glad that Naughty Dog really put something out there that wasn't necessarily afraid to show women kissing. But I think there's still a lot of work to be done.
Sure. Very, very much true. What can we as a community do better, do you think? What do we need to do?
It's oh, this, I think there's only so much we can do. I think being vocal, especially about, you know, representation we see in games that we don't feel represents us very well, I think speaking out on it, you know, making sure people know why this representation is not necessarily representative of the community, I think is one of the most important ways we can. Because without game companies actually putting queer people, you know, on their teams to create these stories, we can't have that much of a voice in how they go. So, like, and that was my big thing with The Last of Us, is it very much felt like a queer story that wasn't written by a queer person. Because there was still all these instances of, like, you know how, like, when, like, straight people write gay things, and it's always like their biggest hurdles they have to fight are, like, related to people being homophobic.
Right.
That's kind of how it sometimes felt.
Gotcha. Yeah, I definitely get that. I understand that.
Because, like, it just, to me, like, there shouldn't also be, like, the existence of, like, bigotry, like, being as one of their things to also have to overcome in a world that's already fallen
Filled
apart.
with, yeah, filled with zombies and everything else you got to
Right.
deal with.
So I think, you know, really the change from, in my opinion, does have to be from people within, you know, the places that can represent us. You know, there's so many indie game companies I feel that are doing really well with queer representation, but, you know, the best we can do is lift up their voices and make sure that their pieces of representation are getting out. But when it comes to giant, you know, AAA game companies like Naughty Dog or whoever might be releasing queer games, like they really need to be, they have the resources to be making, to be hiring a team of queer writers. Like,
Absolutely.
there's absolutely no excuse to not do that.
That is very true. And just like with any company, they have kind of these complicated kind of shares, right? You know, with bigger companies like Naughty Dog, you have all these shares and stuff like that, where other companies are investing in whatever work you're putting out. Do you think that might play a factor into something like that? Like, Naughty Dog has to cater to not only their game, you know, the people who are playing their games, but also the people who are investing in them.
I can see that, and it's when you do look at like the whole big picture of the gaming world, it can make sense that maybe their representation is not exactly where we would like it to be. But it's, I think ultimately the impact of it is still there, and it's still hard to like look at something that, you know, it's, look at like a character go through something that we feel doesn't represent us and still be okay with that, even looking into like the reasoning for why they may have done it.
It's so hard to swallow.
Yeah, I know. Really.
It's so sad. I want good gay characters in my games. Give me what I want. I have money.
Yeah.
Sort
Right.
of.
Sort of. I feel like we're all getting to that position right now.
I have some money.
It's
I
like,
can give you a dollar.
game for a dollar, please.
All right. Well, that sums up about how I feel too. Naughty Dog, do better. Make
Do
Last of
better.
Us 3 better. If there's a 3, I don't think there's a 3. Maybe not for another.
Personally, kind of hope there isn't.
Yeah, I think it's done. All right. Well, we're going to switch away from the more serious topics and maybe make fun of Donald Trump.
Oh God, my favorite thing.
Yeah, right? So fun. So, Twitch has finally shut down Donald Trump's Twitch channel. The Twitch said that the channel was suspended for violating its policies against hateful conduct. According to Twitch, the channel was created in 2019 and has been temporarily suspended, citing examples of hate speech from a 2016 campaign rally, which was recently rebroadcast on Twitch, in which Trump demonized immigrants by accusing Mexico of sending drug dealers and rapists to the US. Twitch also cited the rally earlier this month in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in which he apparently repeated the claim, because that's a great fucking idea, isn't it? It's a...
Oh God, the one big thing that like he got criticized in his, you know,
Yeah.
original campaign rally. Let's do it again.
Great idea to double down on bad takes. Like a KFC sandwich, you just want to double down on your bad take.
Nope.
No double downs here. So, I mean, this also comes right after Reddit banned r/TheDonald, which was the pro-Trump subreddit. So
Oh, wow.
it's kind of nice that people are, you know, like social media platforms and streaming platforms are finally kind of sticking to their, you know, like their mission statement, so to speak, their community guidelines, and axing the platforms that have these harassments, allegations, hate speech,
Right.
etc.
It's nice. Yeah, it is really nice to see them do this. It's part of me wants to criticize and be like, where were you all when he first got elected?
Sure,
Like, 'cause
that is true.
this is not the first time he's been demonizing large groups of people. But at the same time, part of me wants to just be like, okay, finally, like, at least they did it, kind of a
Right.
thing,
Yeah.
because it's hard when this person is the president.
Yeah, it's a weird stance to have to fight. You on one hand you're like, okay, I run this kind of freedom of speech platform, Twitch or Reddit, where people are just kind of having an open forum and doing their thing. But this guy's saying some really shitty stuff, but he's also the president.
Yeah.
So.
And, I think you'll run into a lot of people, and you may even agree that, like, the president should also be held accountable for things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Because, yes, he is, holds the most powerful position, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he is above punishment.
Right. Not to mention, I mean, what aside from being the president makes him above your private platform's rules?
Right.
Like, nowhere in your guidelines does it say, we do not make exceptions for any hateful misconduct unless you're the president. Like, that's not in there anywhere. So, like,
Exactly.
just do it. Just bring down the hammer. It's fine. You'll be fine.
Right. And I mean, like, I've known people on Twitch who get, banned for less,
Right.
who get suspended for less. So it's, I get. This to me seemed like a no-brainer. Just
Yeah,
get him out of there.
it is weird though that I mean you just brought it up that it took this amount of time. Do you think it's simply because there have been people speaking up lately that we have this change, or like, I guess not even change, but like this sudden movement? Or is it just someone just saying like, oh, I forgot to ban the president again today, I better do that today?
Oh, get that off the checklist. It could be. I feel like, yeah, definitely lately there's been such a spark under people to finally like use their voice. So it's nice to see that, people might be encouraging platforms more to actually hold themselves accountable. But part of me still wants to hope that it's just them like seeing these things and being like, oh, well, that breaks our rules. Let's just do our job as normal, but
Right.
I think I also saw recently that he had a tweet that ended up getting,
Yeah.
yeah, because I think it was like inciting violence.
Yeah, Twitter. So it seems like there's a movement by everyone except Facebook. Facebook sucks. There seems to be a movement by everyone to kind of make it more inclusive, and kind of crack down on the hate speech, the inciting of violence, the lying, misinformation, even from the president.
Right.
Especially from the president, I should say.
Right. So it's entirely possible that seeing something like that, people might be demanding more from other places. Because I mean, I know people called Twitter out so often for how they just let his hateful content just be. And Twitter would be going around being like, well, like trying to spread these messages of like love on certain days, like, Twitter trying to show that they have a personality. It's like, that's great that you want to do these nice things, but
Very
also,
cute.
yeah, you're our president here. Really not being that. So
Yeah.
let's crack down.
Let's bring it down. Bring the hammer down.
Seriously, like I at this point I'm just like I feel no fear for him. Yeah. Like, I feel like, I think we're at a point now where it's just like, you need to be held accountable, but
absolutely.
There's also a part of me that feels like he has no idea what's going on. So like, people are punishing him and he's just so delusional that he doesn't even think that it has anything to do with him.
I think what really has to happen is like, his Twitter account just needs to be gone, and yes, he will have the largest meltdown in the history of meltdowns, and I will be taking off from work just to watch it on television.
Oh my God. That would be, I feel like that would be messier and more entertaining than like any Real Housewives season.
Yeah. Yeah. Any reality show, just watching him, they took me off Twitter, now I can't tell people about Law and Order anymore, my favorite TV show.
Let it happen. I feel like, can you imagine like all the content that would come out of that too?
Oh, it'd be so good.
God, so nice.
So good. I have so much stuff to talk about. Well, totally. The future is bright.
Amen.
The future is bright. So, with that in mind, we're going to switch gears to a different kind of chat about streaming. And it revolves around something called Brime. So, what is Brime? We still don't really know, but apparently Brime is merely a code name for a new streaming service. Recently, Brime has come under the spotlight due to the banning of Dr. Disrespect. It is still not yet known why Dr. Disrespect has been banned from Twitch, but little rumors and speculations around the internet that Dr. Disrespect was working with Shroud and Ninja on their own Spotify-backed streaming service has placed the new but not yet launched Brime at the center stage. However, it is worth noting that the official Brime Twitter account has stated that they are not at all affiliated with Spotify. So it seems to be just a rumor, but I will say this, and I had to put on my journalism cap for this one. I was wondering just, you know, how they've been handling all the recent fame around them, because, I mean, no one had really heard of Brime, and then suddenly it was a big deal. So I went and I looked up some statistics about just about their Twitter page. So their Twitter page was created on June 24th of this year. Dr. Disrespect, I think, was banned on the 26th of this month. And just as that hit, the follower count on Brime was about 800 or so followers. Since then, it has skyrocketed literally to about 89,000 followers. Just from all these speculations that Dr. Disrespect was somehow involved. They haven't really denied that there's any previous streamers from either Mixer or Twitch involved, but I don't want to put that out there as like a definite like nugget of conspiracy theory there, but it does seem pretty interesting, at least to me, that they happen to just kind of set this all up at the same time. So I don't know what's going on with Brime. I think it's very interesting, and I think adding another competitor into the mix to kind of rival against Twitch and well, now Facebook Gaming video is pretty interesting.
I agree with that. Mostly because once, you know, we heard Mixer went down, I was kind of like, okay, that kind of makes sense considering like I didn't hear like a ton of good things come about Mixer. But I mean, there were several, there's so many people that streamed on it that, you know, what a devastating thing that they all just now could not stream on it anymore. So suddenly. So to hear that Brime is going to be a new thing could be great. The whole, part of me wants to think that that's a little bit of a stretch to say that's why Dr. Disrespect was banned.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Just because, like, I don't think Twitch would take that action. Like,
I just kind of like fanning the flames a little bit.
I love that.
No, I don't really think he's involved. I I don't know why he was banned. I'd love to know. I would love for that to finally hit the Twitterverse or wherever it needs to be for us to know. But
God, right when that police report comes out, it's going to be all over the place.
Oh boy.
God. Well, did you see the clip of like?
I don't think I did.
So there was a clip, and I wish I knew where to find it now. But like, he apparently had some moment on like his last stream before he got banned where like he got really sentimental and like just seemed really just not himself and was talking about all these like things about how we're gonna keep going, we're gonna get it through this. And then I guess before his stream cuts out, he looks like you can hear knocking on a door and then like him turning back toward the door. That was like the last thing that was on the video.
What?
Like, I don't know. I don't remember how the stream ended, but people are, like, speculating that it was something very serious.
Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised about, considering he's done some pretty not great things in the past.
His reputation is weird, because in addition to, you know, not having done some very questionable things of his own, he's also had people, like, drive by shoot his house, apparently.
Oh yeah.
Like, do people like him or do people not like him? Like, it's very weird. It's very kind of clouded history with him as a streamer, as a personality. It's very touchy.
Right. I feel like part of me is like wants to say like, why do people watch him? But I guess when I say that, I do like mean that in a more serious way. Like, why do people watch him? And I've never found out. Just because of what I hear,
right?
It sounds like I wouldn't like him.
See, I'm always interested. I like comedy and stuff like that, so I'm always very interested in the bit, right?
But right.
I'm wondering with him where the bit ended and where it began. Because it seemed like for as much as he was just putting on a wig and a mustache and playing a personality, it seemed like it was him in some way, you know. It wasn't just him playing some dude with you know, some weird bro-y tendencies, but it was also him being the bro. So right. It's very strange where the Dr. Disrespect ends and where the other guy begins, and if those lines were ever blurred, and I'm sure they were.
I mean,
it seems only fair that if you play a character for that long, you develop some part. They develop some part of each other, rather.
Right. I can definitely see that. I think a lot of the criticism that comes with him is, you know, not being like he shouldn't be able to hide behind a character to be saying offensive things, and I definitely agree with that. But I don't know. I honestly don't know half of what he's said. All I know is, like, what was it, the bathroom thing, like, last year?
That's really weird.
Yeah, so weird. That's, like, the biggest thing I knew from him. But I've seen some like, outbursts he had on stream. But, like, honestly, like, when I heard the news that he got banned, I wasn't super surprised.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it seems like it's the thing that's surprising about it is how tight-lipped everyone is. Not necessarily that he was banned, but that everyone, including himself, is just like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Oh, well.
And that is actually really weird that even he would like think of no reason why he was banned from the, like, even that Twitch wouldn't have been able to say anything. Wow. Yeah, more things that come out are just, I'm also like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and it seems like everyone's very kind of nonchalant about it. Like, yeah, he's banned. Okay, bye. I feel like news outlets, even Twitch themselves, would be making a huge deal about it if it was something more, right? If it was something very serious. So I'm wondering why the secrecy?
Yeah. It is really, really strange.
Let me peek behind the curtain, Twitch. I want to know what's going on.
Oh, God, I know. Well, like I said, that police report. Whenever it comes.
Oh boy. It's getting interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, gamers, you never cease to entertain. Okay.
Gamers trademark.
What do you think of Brime, though? I mean, it seems to be this, it seems to have its own secrets too. So
Yeah, so I was.
it has a Discord and all that stuff, but like it's kind of tight-lipped on its own. It's not really saying much about itself other than it wants to be another streaming service.
So I was scrolling through, and I'm scrolling through their Twitter and kind of seeing, trying to see what they're all about, and I feel like even they are being, pretty mysterious about their own platform. And as a marketing strategy, they're creating conversation and, interest in a way, I guess. But, I look at this and right now I'm just like, I don't know, I want to be involved in it, or it's kind of like one of those, I'm sitting back and
Letting it
watching
play
and
out.
yeah, seeing, what happens when they when it when it debuts, and when you see people streaming on it, once they like release like the features and everything, then that's maybe when I'll be like, huh, cool, or might not ever
Meh.
stream on there, but
Yeah.
neat.
I'd like to see how they handle the tags on Twitch. So Twitch has like the LGBTQ tags and all the just chatting and stuff like that. That's something I'm looking forward to seeing them kind of chat about,
Right.
because we, even if it is a little bit of kind of lip service, we know where Twitch stands on the issues. We know where Mixer stood on the issues.
Right.
So I'm interested to see if Brime is going to kind of make that same mark and say we stand with marginalized communities and we stand with you guys.
Yeah, 'cause I think Twitch has done a really good job of showing that. I mean, there are definitely some incidences where it feels like they should be held accountable in some areas regarding marginalized communities, but it's really nice that they have set that and they continually remind people like, hey, this is, these are people that are represented on the platform and these are the things we stand with, so that at least they can set the bar for who, kind of how they curate like new people coming in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Brime, looking forward to seeing what you're holding in your deck of cards.
We see you.
We see you.
We see you being mysterious over there.
And we're watching.
We're watching.
All right. So as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation.
Ooh.
Which game or games should they be playing or should they be on the lookout for?
Ooh. Well, since we're still in Pride mode,
Pride mode.
I think one of my favorite queer games is Night in the Woods. Have you played it?
Yeah, great game.
Oh God, I just the queer representation in it is just so heartfelt, so cute. Like, it's a delightful game itself.
I've always liked the art in Night in the Woods.
Yeah,
It's
like
so cute.
it's so cute, like so like not over the top, but like gets the job done and like sets the tone really well. But yeah, love that one. Probably I think one of the best done representation. There's a game called The Missing.
Oh,
Not sure if you've heard of it.
I have.
Oh my God, have you played it?
I have not.
Oh, it's so good. It's this just bizarre platformer made by Swery, who the same person who did Deadly Premonition. about like this girl who like loses who we assume to be is like her girlfriend. And you're like on this island, and she gets this like she realizes that she like can't die. So like in order to like get through this game, you have to actually like destroy your body and like kind of dismember yourself to like get through certain obstacles.
Very
It's
good. Very nice.
so wacky, but like honestly, the representation in it was so beautiful and so well done. And it's like it's a little just like a little like selfish thing here. It applies to my tastes because it's like a little bit spooky, but like really like fun fantastical elements.
I might give this a try later.
Oh,
This looks really cool.
so good.
Really, really cool. Well done, well done. I'm going to quickly recommend, I recommended it last week, Yakuza Zero. It is holding up as a pretty decent Sega title. I like the combat a lot. I like beating up like guys who think they should talk to me at all or mess with any other little civilians that are out there. It feels really good to just kind of be like, hey, leave that guy alone, and then they're like, oh, what did you say to me? And then I pull out a baseball bat and I kick their ass. It's great. It's a great game. Good way to blow off some steam. And it's on Xbox Games Pass for not a whole lot of dollars. So check that out.
Grab that. Yeah,
Yeah.
I've seen so many good things from that game, and I've seen so many people praise it. Like, I know I want to play it at some point.
What I'm really kind of looking at when I look at Yakuza Zero is the kind of realism of the characters, like the amount of detail they put into their faces, where you can even see like little acne scars and stuff like that.
Oh,
That's
wow.
really it's very humanizing, and I enjoy that a lot.
Ooh, okay.
Very nice. And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet if you wish to be found, and if you have anything else to plug.
Yeah, so I am just a Jeff Brutlog everywhere. As far as things to plug at the moment, I will be sharing my thoughts on the queer representation of The Last of Us soon.
Oh.
So I plan on writing a whole article that I'll be sharing on my Medium account, which is at Jeff Brutlog as well. But yeah, if anywhere you need to find me, that's where you can find me. You can also check out my website at jeffbrutlog.com. That's pretty much like my hub for anything you may need, and also where I post blogs that I need to definitely be a little more active with.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right. Well, as always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter. You can find the Weekly Cooldown on Twitter as well at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WK Cooldown for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, please. Or on Podchaser. Podchaser also helps. I am number 46 in Lithuania for video game podcasts, so I'm doing something right.
Hell yeah.
Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And be sure to support your favorite charities and support the show. Our logo is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. And our intro music is done by Zach Brider of Captive Portal. That is all for the weekly cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
And I'm Jeff.
You are. And we will see you next time. Thanks, everyone.